everyone, to another delayed episode of the Here's Johnny podcast. I am your host, Larry.
And I am your other host, Justin. In all fairness, we didn't realize how long Resident Evil 5 was.
And I am going to be out of town this weekend. I'm going camping with a few of my friends and my dad for my bachelor party weekend. And so we had to record early, so we're recording this on a Tuesday, which is like 3 days after we recorded last time.
Yep.
And so we realized we were not going to be able to beat Resi 5. So instead, here we are, after saying we weren't going to touch him again, we are reviewing the next movie of the Resident Evil franchise, Resident Evil Extinction. Oh my gosh. But before we get to that, Justin, why don't you tell me what's been new with you over the weekend, I guess?
Man, I didn't even work on the weekend. What did I do? I played some more Fall Guys beta.
That is free now on PSN.
Yeah, it's the PS Plus game this month.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what else did I do?
I watched a trailer for that because I always add them to my library.
Yeah.
I don't see the appeal in that. It looks cute, but I can't see myself doing
it's
that
just
more
like,
than like a night.
It's fun and frantic. That's all it is. I do it mostly for like my kid likes watching me. Because
I was
going
to say, like for a kid's, I bet that'd be a blast for them to watch and play.
Oh, they love it. And like, so kind of on the other end of that, I started playing Mad Max again for
Never
the PS4. That's a great game. It's really like underrated gem. I mean, it's obviously
already buried, Justin. I can't take much more.
It was free on PS Plus like a year ago, I think now or
so
something.
I might
like.
Have it in my back library then.
Oh, probably. But my kid likes watching that. It's not really a kid-friendly game, but he likes cars. And, I mean, Matt, if you know Mad Max, and obviously you know it's a lot of cars.
You should pick up, it's an old PS2 game called Rumble Racing. I used to play with my dad back in the day. And it's like these sports cars, and like you can do flips when you hit ramps. It's super simple controls. It's only going forward. You can make the AI easier or harder, but there's also like Easter eggs. And I mean, Easter eggs, like literally there's Easter eggs hidden on the maps to unlock other cars, so it benefits you to go backwards and then go exploring in nooks and crannies. And it's two player co-op split screen. So if your kid is interested in cars, it, like I said, it's called Rumble Racing, and I own it still to this day.
Oh,
and
he's do you know what Forza Horizon is?
It's a very pretty car game on the Xbox, right?
Yeah, he plays that like.
Okay,
all the time.
So
he loves
never mind. He's
yeah.
Past me then.
Yeah.
Fine. Whatever. But
other than that, I watched two or three episodes of Umbrella Academy. Have you finished that by now? I'm assuming
I have two episodes left.
Okay.
We can do a non-spoiler chat right now of what we've seen.
Okay.
What's your overall impression?
Not as good as the first one. I mean, we kind of talked about this already, but the stakes just aren't there. And I don't know. It's almost like a weird. It's not really like a rehash of the first season storyline, but kind of is.
When you get further in, that rehashing goes away.
Okay.
But I do agree that they need to find a different villain. And we were talking about this, so I've read the comics now.
Yeah.
I didn't read them before I watched the first season, but I have now. And the first season tackles books 1 and 2 of the comics. And for some reason, like this isn't a spoiler, the second comic's called Dallas, and it goes into 5's like history with the organization and stuff, and the Dallas, what happens in Dallas, right?
Yeah.
So it's just weird that they did it again. You know what I mean? And so for me, I still enjoy it. I think the character work is great. I love Ellen Page. And I love I don't know the actor's name who plays Klaus, but I think it's all great. It's just, there's not a lot of threat, but it's still enjoyable to watch. I mean, there's a lot worse crap out there. And this is still a very fun show to watch.
If you like the actor who plays Klaus, I also do not remember his name, make sure to check out Misfits. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It's It's a superhero show, but it's from like the early 2000s, I think. Just go watch it. Just watch the first episode. Don't even like.
I don't do that. You know that. Yeah, I barely watch trailers. I was forced to.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah, watch it. Anyways, other than that, though, I haven't watched or played anything else. So what about you?
So we'll start with video games. I have played more of Elden, but I didn't get enough done before this. I was thinking we had until Thursday. I thought I had more time, but because of things, obviously I don't. But I will have that for next week.
Okay.
That'll be a non-spoiler review, obviously. Been playing more Destiny, grinding out some more exotics. I really enjoy that. And honestly, I'm very thankful for it because it's helped me through this quarantine, which, quick side note, someone in my lab room popped on the afternoon shift, on the morning shift, they're the afternoon shift, had COVID-19.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Oh, my God. And how have we not talked about that?
Tomorrow, my lab room opens up again. But I'm really frustrated because I feel like management's doing a really bad job and no one's talk about it. Like, they didn't even let everybody who's in that room. So one of my friends, he runs the flow cytometers, which are located in that room. But he's, like, not a part of any group. So he didn't get attached to the emails. He showed up Monday to work to go to that room, and it was all blocked off, and he had no idea.
So... what?
Yeah, and like and like as far as like I've been talking to other people, because obviously it's a laboratory and you're doing, and it's a research laboratory, so you're talking to the people, and none of us have been contact traced. None of us have been called and asked and like to see what's going on. And I understand there's PHI, like that's public health information, like patient information, right? And you can't share that because of HIPAA, but at the same time, like there's no tracking. Like I don't know who it is, and that's fine, but I don't know if I came in contact with them, if I had to use something at their bench or anything like that. And I've complained before to this lab that sometimes people will go in and use the stuff at my bench because it's close to a hood and not clean up after themselves. So I clean before I get there, which hopefully is enough, but I just feel like it's not being taken seriously enough. And when there's this added pressure by the people at the top of the lab, not my personal PI, Rose, I don't think you listen to my podcast. You're amazing. It's not you. But there's other people in this lab who are putting pressure to get data crunched out, and they're not taking proper precautions. And so Thursday we have a meeting, a small group meeting, and I'm bringing it up because I honestly feel that it's being handled so poorly, and I'm tired of pretending that people are doing a great job when they're not.
That kind of sounds like America overall with all the COVID stuff, to be honest with you.
We're not doing that today, Justin. I see you guys in that little chat constantly talking about that. I just avoid it and post pictures of puppies or funny memes because I can't deal.
Hey, I need my American updates every once in a while.
You just sit there with your Tim Hortons and your cheese curds and you just be happy. But outside of video games, Last of Us Part 2, I just got to the part where I start playing as Abby. I hate Abby, but give respect where it's due. Her arms are impressive. Holy shit, she is built.
Yeah, and I mean, I
am in awe. She has not missed a day of upper body ever. And her dad died, and she just decided to hit the gym because holy shit, she is a monster.
So how far did you get playing as
Abby?
Literally,
I got to that part. I had other stuff to do that day anyway, and I was just, I knew it was coming because I had seen some spoilers before, and I really hate Abby. I know you and Rachel keep telling me it's going to change, man. And like maybe where it is. But like I do not like her. I loved Joel and I love Ellie. And I'm not spoiling it. Well, that review is coming soon. But I hate her. I want to return that 5 iron to her at some point. And oh my God, I can't. It's nothing to do with like what people are saying. Oh, women. Nothing like that. It's like she killed Joel. She's a monster. She's leading this vendetta group. Like, she's, what, 11 years old? And she's like, it's okay, Dad. You can kill the child. Like, you could kill me if it was me. It's like, yeah, it's easy for you to sit down on the operating table, you bitch. Like, I hate her. Can't stand her. The character. And I don't know. I'm excited to review it. But the thing is, it's not like I hate the game because of it. Like, if anything, I'm happy with the plot because it's making me hate her so much.
I will say, I think she's a little more forward-thinking than... She was okay to end her.
Well, yeah, because she was on the table.
Yeah,
you don't know if
that's
true or not. It's really easy to say you do the right thing when you don't have any. There's no stakes.
I mean, Ellie was ready for it too. Just remember,
Ellie's
that.
Different. Ellie's special. Ellie's perfect.
She was ready for it. It
Ellie's
was Joel.
Perfect. Ellie's perfect.
Who wasn't ready?
And Joel made the decision for her, and that wasn't the right thing. But hey, he loved her, and that's okay. But that's not this review. That's coming, guys. Get ready for that because I have feelings. movies, been watching more of my movie count. I actually have to watch like 4 tomorrow since I'll be out of town for the weekend. But today was a movie that I don't like that it seems like the world likes. And I watched Avatar, and Justin and I were talking. Apparently, you don't like Avatar either.
Oh, I hated it. I mean,
yeah,
even
it's,
watching
it's
it
not,
in IMAX.
Like, I'm trying not to use that word. I'm being very careful. But like the plot's boring at best. The special effects are great. But like... it's nothing special. And the thing is, like, I am someone who likes James Cameron. I like T2 and I love Titanic. But, like, I don't think it's anything groundbreaking. I don't understand why it's on this pedestal that it's at. I don't get why people want a sequel. Like, what more do you want from this? And, yeah, that's it. I haven't read anything. And, like I said, I avoid all the craziness in the world, and Justin seems to embrace it, so that's about it.
Because, I don't know, I just want to know, because in Canada, I'm like, oh, we had 88 cases today in Ontario.
Okay, we're cool. Done. Moving on. Okay, so, like I said at the very beginning, we are reviewing Resident Evil Extinction. It is a kind of a tight timeline, so I don't have, like, a bevy of information, but I do have some stuff. So, Justin, play that theme, and let's get into this film review. I still love these movies. I own them all. Mm-hmm. But this is where my ability to defend something starts going away.
Oh, the scary factor, I'm assuming.
The scary and the plot, because there's some stuff that I just can't handle. And we're going to get into that. So if you haven't seen Resident Evil Extinction, spoilers going forward. But it's a 2007 action horror film directed by Russell Mulcahy. I can't... M-U-L-C-A-H-Y... looking into like what he's done, there's nothing really big that people would know about. Like, I was going through it. He did direct Scorpion King 2, Rise of the Warrior. He's liked to do a lot of that kind of stuff. He also directed Curse of King Tut's Tomb, which was a TV movie. That was what he did right before this one. He's done some episodes of Tales of the Crypt. He directed Highlander back in the 80s.
But oh, like the original Highlander?
I think so.
Highlander, oh, damn.
Highlander and Highlander 2, The Quickening.
Oh, damn.
Oh, okay. You're aware of those?
Highlander?
Yeah.
There can be only one. Of course, man.
Oh. Okay. I'm not sure. That's...
I'm still sad that game got canceled. That would have been such a fucking cool game. All right. Anyway, sorry.
All right. It is a direct sequel to the events of Resident Evil Apocalypse. It is written by Paul W.S. Anderson. We've talked about him a ton on this podcast, so... I'm not going to go into him again. Soon enough, though, he will stop being just the writer, become the writer-director eventually. We are approaching that point. And where we're at, we're probably going to have to watch Afterlife. We have Mila Jovovich return to play Alice.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that in acting. Odette Fair comes back to play Carlos. We get two Resident Evil franchise characters appearing. We have Wesker, who gets replaced by another actor, so I'm going to talk about that in the next film. And then we have Allie Larder, who yeah. I have always had a crush on, like Varsity Blues, Final Destination, but she plays Claire
Redfield. How could you not even bring up Heroes?
I've only watched that one time. It was okay.
The first season was amazing.
Yeah, everything but then else it goes south.
Very fast.
Fast.
It's like Silent Hill.
The first couple, three good
the
ones.
First couple, the first, no, I mean the games, the first couple endings are okay, and then it just goes downhill and fast.
So. All right, fair. Ashanti's in it, Mike Epps is in it, revisiting his old role as LJ from the first movie. What other big thoughts? Oh, we have Ian Glenn, the guy's name we couldn't remember last time, who plays Danny's protector.
Greyjoy.
Not Greyjoy.
Oh my God.
He's from Grayscale.
Grayscale is what Grayscale, I was thinking.
Yeah. He's in this. He plays an evil doctor, reprising his role from the very, very end of Resident Evil Apocalypse. And the other cool thing I wanted to talk about was the composer for this one is Charlie Clouser.
Oh, okay.
And that name meant nothing to me.
Really?
Until I looked at his.
Oh, man.
And I see now why you liked it, because... yeah. Saw 2, Saw 3, Saw 4, Saw 5, yes, Saw 6, yes, Saw 3D, yes, Jigsaw, yes, and Spiral yes. coming up eventually at some point. He did Dead Silence, so he worked a lot with James mm-hmm. Wan.
Oh, yeah.
He did The Stepfather, which is a movie I actually liked back in the day. And, yeah, so I had no idea. And apparently did some video games. He did Singularity and Evolve, both games I never played before. Maybe you have?
Both are meh, but, I mean, his work in film is, like... I mean, obviously...
As long as you're a fan of Saw.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, even if you do not like Saw, you cannot deny the fact Hello Zep is like one of the best themes.
Yes. Right. I will not fight you because I agree with you 100%.
Okay.
All right. And then last but not least, the film was shot on a $45 million budget and it grossed $149 million at the box office.
These things just get bigger, don't they? Do the returns stay the same?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
Because I actually know the answer to that, and it's shocking.
Oh, speaking of returns on investments and stuff.
ROI.
ROI. Did you see how many sales RE3 has had, the remake? No. So it has 2.7 million, I think, like obviously like money, not units.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's just like really, it didn't sell as good as like
there's a thing to it, and the multiplayer sucks.
Yeah, and I think at that point people have had their fill with Resident Evil 2 Remake.
That is a running game. Honestly, it is a fun game, but it is not worth $60 at all. It is worth $30 at best.
I'd give them $40 because I do know that whatever I put into that game is, whatever money I put into that game is going towards Resident Evil Village. So,
all right, fair. But yeah, the next film in the franchise will come out in 2010. It's called Resident Evil Afterlife. We'll probably end up reviewing it just because of having a lot of video games back-to-back has kind of shown us...
We can't do that.
We can't do that successfully. But yeah, now it's time for the plot summary. And Justin, I thought since I did a video game last week that maybe you'd do the movie one this week?
No, I'm good. Right. Hey, I know you watched it again today. So
I did watch this movie twice. I watched it last night before I went to bed. And I watched it again today because I was doing stuff and having it in the back. It was already in my PS4. So watching it again was just like push play.
Oh no!
So I'm sick. Okay, are you ready?
Absolutely. You want this countdown?
Yep.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
So blowing up Raccoon City didn't fix anything, and the virus still escaped. Somehow, it actually killed the oceans and the fish and the birds in the air. So now the world is just dead. Umbrella Corporation is trying to clone Alice because they believe that through her they can find a cure to the virus and save the world, as being led by Ian Glenn's character. Wesker's there, but he's a mirage and his actor is not very good, doesn't look like him at all. He gets replaced and looks better in the future. Alice is separated from Carlos, but he's with Claire for some reason, and they're traveling across the desert between Salt Lake and Las Vegas. They meet up after this giant murderous crowd of crows come down. Alice ends up somehow getting tracked by satellite by Ian Glenn. Everybody gets killed, and so Claire takes off with the remaining survivors to go to Alaska in order to find the safe haven where Carlos blows up the place, kills himself. Alice goes down to the basement. She fights the tyrant by killing him with the laser beams, and then she talks to Wesker via telecom and says, "Me and my clones are coming to kick your ass."
And time, yeah. I mean, LLJ died too. He got bit, but. He's my favorite character. He's one of my favorites
too, because he could have let Ashanti live, and instead he like saved himself,
even though he was gonna die, and he knew.
Yeah, it was very sad to see. But yeah, okay, plot.
Yeah, okay.
A couple of things. Like, I'm not even gonna do pros and cons. We're just gonna talk about this plot.
Okay,
we're just gonna talk about it because it is.
It's a thing that exists.
Okay, so plot wise, it is a very weird thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I don't understand why they had to kill like the oceans and the fishes and everything. Like, I don't get that, because they're already in the desert of the United States. Like, you didn't make it need to make it more deserty.
And aren't there like ocean? Like, aren't they on a boat in one of them? Like in the water?
Oh yeah, when they go to Alaska, they end up on that's where Wesker's secret base is at in Afterlife. Oh yeah.
So they didn't really kill the water. That's when you see Jill Valentine
being possessed by that red crystal. That's then going to be in 5.
So they didn't even like do what they said they did.
Alice has, no joke, superpowers that she only uses conveniently, which I hate. Like, instead of like harnessing it and getting better to be able to use it more and more often, it's just like very sporadic when she uses it. So like once is to kill the murder of crows.
Don't forget the time she like Jedi forced us in her sleep, where she was lifting up everything off the ground
and killed her BMW bike. Yeah. So I've never liked that, and luckily we are approaching rapidly the removal of that because that is a very, very dumb mechanic. And so that's the big thing, right? It's like there's a lot of really dumb stuff that as a Resident Evil fan, I'm like, why? Why are we doing this? We have had, even with how bad 5 and 6 are, they never resulted to this. They never resulted to you being able to raise your hand and force push away tentacles. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And so another actually really big thing that kind of bothered me is, so this is obviously the third film in the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And it tries to pull a plot similar to a much better third film in another franchise.
What?
Day of the Dead. They try to make their own bub. And
Okay, I see what you're talking about. Yeah, because I think I'm not sure if it's the next one or the one after that where they're in the tower and Chris is in the basement in the jail cell.
I don't know that one. I haven't seen that one.
Okay, so because that happens there too, but.
Oh, really? Yeah, I just... Man, okay, if you're going to make an intelligent zombie, like... I don't know, you have to put more thought into it than, like, a 10-second scene where he's, like, good and then bad, because then you just don't care.
It's cool, though. I like that scene where Ian Glenn just shuts the door and lets him kill him.
It's just...
I understand your point, but it is kind of cool. What else do we have here?
I do want to say for... Sure. It does have, obviously, like, it kills off Carlos and LJ. I mean, LJ kind of deserved it in this one. He was kind of an asshole, but Carlos, I like Carlos. So,
and I thought it was cool too. I thought it was epic.
He had like he's just sitting there smoking a
blunt and like he's just staring up at the zombies staring at him. And like, and that's the thing that I actually do like up until a later film with how they handle the Resident Evil game world. Is that they put the characters in there in situations that would make sense for their character, but they don't try to pretend like they're the characters from the game. Do you know what I mean? Like, Claire is a strong leader who's trying to save people. We'll get to it in audio, but I think Allie Larder does a really good job of playing that kind of role anyway. And so it's cool to see her pop up, but I don't really care that I'm not seeing her doing a Code Veronica plotline or a Resi 2 plotline. Carlos, we got his plotline in Apocalypse from 3. And in this one, he's still there because Alice felt a relationship with him. She cares about him. She might even like him, right? But he's still this hero the whole time. And Odette Affair, again, we'll talk about audio, does a really good job at pulling that off. I think Wesker sucks. But we also get the tyrant finally in this one, you know? We finally get a tyrant in it. And I think it's cool, too, because it's Ian Glenn is self-aware, which is, think back to Birkin. Birkin was aware, too, of what was going on. And... So I don't know. I think for me, I think it's hard to adapt video games to film in general. So I think the best thing you can do is just kind of take elements that people like and put it up there. And if you're going to include characters, do what they do in these ones. For me personally.
I agree, but I also disagree very, very much.
How can
just...
you agree and disagree very much?
I mean, I think it's cool that Carlos was in it. And that's kind of where I stopped because I think that I agree. I think obviously we'll
it's
get
not
into
perfect.
This audio.
I am not saying it is perfect. I'm just saying, like, if I'm comparing this to Silent Hill Revelation, I will take this every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Oh, Revelation is a pile of shit. But the problem is, I think, is that I obviously as well have a very there's a lot of Resident Evil in my past, and seeing these characters on screen, I got excited. I was like, oh yes, this is gonna be awesome, and then they weren't what I expected. I agree, I think Allie Larder did a good job, but I much rather would have had her, that doesn't make any sense, but you know what I'm getting across, I would have rather her had played just like some random person. Okay. I don't think she needs to be. You don't have to have.
Well, and the thing is, Claire. But it wasn't like she was like she was an important character, but she wasn't like Alice, right? Like I just think it's like it's Alice's story, and they're tying in Resident Evil characters to her story, but they're not trying to say this is canon. This is just a story, and it's kind of like saying here's a little bit of tease, right? Here's like a cool thing, And that's why, for me, I like it here as opposed to in Revelation, because I feel like when they do that, they are doing justice to not the character from the game, but to the character itself. Like, Ali Larder is a great actress, and she's a cool character in this franchise, especially in the one where her and Alice take on the giant axe-wielding guy in the basement.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, wait for that. But, like, I don't know. I do hear what you're saying, but I kind of approach it differently because, I don't know, I think it's okay. Like, because at this point in the third movie, it is very clearly Alice's story, and it's something entirely separate from the games. I mean, for Christ's sakes, we have superpowers and the T-virus drained the ocean. So there you go.
Yeah, she's just turned into a Jedi, I guess, overnight. I know we're not talking about this in pros and cons, but like, the other issue I have is there are a few characters that survived. I mean, we talked about this in at the end of Apocalypse. There are a few characters that survived the end of that movie that we have nothing on. Granted, we get Jill later, but they don't even bring her up. Alice isn't like, hey, where is Jill?
They don't bring him up, but there was definitely a conversation that something bad happened in Detroit.
Yes,
and
but I think
definitely was Alice's fault that whatever bad happened happened.
But I think that in order to like connect these, if you want to have like a succinct plot, you have to say something happened to Jill. You don't have
and
to
that's
say
entirely
what?
On Paul Anderson, because he wrote both all three of the first movies, so that's on him for dropping the ball. I'm pretty sure he wrote all the movies.
Also the other character that we talked about heavily last week, or not last week, oh god, a couple weeks ago, is the girl. I can't remember her name. I mean, she's completely
the Red Queen's avatar.
Yeah, I mean, she's not in this, obviously, so clearly the person who took the movie of Apocalypse and took it to book said, okay, this character needs to have some closure. She can't just have disappeared. So, again, it would have been nice just to have heard, like, she died.
Yeah, but, and that's kind of good. Well, I bet we talk about this more and how scary. But the big problem with this, and it's similar to what happens in 5 and 6 for the games, is that the horror has gone away, and they have focused more on action sequences showing how badass Alice is and cool, like, set designs.
Yeah, they must have been in, like, a conference call with Capcom going, oh, yeah, that must be what people loved about Resident Evil 4, so.
One thing I do like about plot, I'll keep it cinematography.
I will say, like, it's...
There is much worse trash out there.
Yeah, and it is, like... It's a fun, sometimes, action movie.
Yep. It does get slow at parts. There are a couple parts where it kind of lulls.
Oh, boy. but I mean,
it's like an hour and a half, and it could have easily been an hour and 15.
Well, the problem is, I think, do you have to be an hour and a half to be, like, in a movie theater?
No, I think it's like an hour and 20, hour and 15. I think that's, like, the low end.
Oh,
think
really?
About kids' movies. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 75 minutes. Which is an hour and 15. But I don't quote me on that. I could be wrong. Write as a 5-star review on iTunes. Let us know what the proper time is if you want to let us know.
Yeah, I don't know. I had there's a lot of like missteps in the plot for me. I mean,
yeah.
I would have obviously.
It does start off really. I think that's part of the problem with this Lotus is it starts off super strong when Alice gets like tricked into going to help those people. And.
Well, that's because that's what you like fight. Expect. That's what you expect out of like a post-apocalyptic world is people who are being shitty to each other and like trapping people, basically.
And it's a cool sequence too with those dogs. I mean, the Cerberus have been in every single movie so far, and I think it's a really cool way to do them in this one too.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, okay, we'll get into his cinematography, but yeah, I agree. It started off
with the clone sequence, and like I said, I want to talk about cinematography.
Okay,
the clone sequence going into finding Alice, her giving us the backstory, the dog fight sequence, and then like finding out the other characters and stuff. It does start off strong, but it just lulls at certain times for no reasons. And like, yeah, and there's like plot inconsistencies where like LJ takes forever to turn into a zombie, but Odette Ferry is like turning like immediately.
Yeah, isn't it like, I thought it was established in the first one. It's like you get bit and then you're like infected.
Well, I think, if you think about
Michelle Rodriguez's
character, she was like, I think canonically in the movie, it was like under an hour she turned. Jill's friend in the second movie,
He was like 2 hours,
like two or 3 hours, right?
Not a day and a half.
This one, Oded turns in probably about 4 or 5, but LJ takes like 2 days almost.
Yeah,
apparently, if you hide it, if you hide it and try to deny it, it takes longer. I guess I don't know. All right, plot. I gave it a 6.
I gave it a 5.5.
Like I said, it's not the worst thing ever. We have definitely reviewed much worse trash on this, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Cinematography. Here was actually a bright spot in the movie for me.
I agree.
Even though I hate the superpower Alice crap, I think that when she comes in and controls the fire and kills the murder of crows, I think that is awesome. Like when the sky bubber is all on fire and everything.
I think it looks cool, yes. I don't think it looks awesome.
Plot-wise and everything going on with Resident Evil, it's not very cool. But separating that, when she's standing there, the sky's on fire, like that is a sweet scene. That is a really, really, really cool scene. And then I saved it, but the opening sequence where it makes you think you're watching the first movie again, and obviously she transitions quickly to that laser room. We get that again, yeah. Everything. That's great. I love that sequence.
Oh, I agree. I thought it was awesome. I mean, it obviously, I don't know if you can have nostalgia for a movie that was like that came out like 3 years before it, but
five.
Because it's five. Oh, 5 years. Wow. It gave you, I mean,
it was cool. And then you see me go down. It's like, wait, is this like a flash forward? We're going to get a flashback. What's going on here? And I don't even really have a problem with the clones. I mean, with plot, it makes no sense that you're cloning them and then putting them through a gauntlet to kill them when all you need is her blood. Like, it makes no sense. Like, Ian Glenn's character is a sick, sick man. But, like, it's cool. It's a cool cinematic sequence. Like when she pushes the cart through it and it gets caught up and she's scared and the thing pops up like right near the end. Like, it's a cool sequence.
Again, it looks cool.
So we are in cinematography. We are allowed to talk about the coolness. Another cool sequence, I already talked about the fire part with the birds. When the birds are attacking, like, they look good. They look real.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when it lands on the bus, I think it is, mm-hmm. And they're like, "Oh no, what's with their eyes?" And like
that's kind of cheesy. Zooms in. But like when they're flying around, and how they push people off and like peck them, and like when Ashanti gets trapped in the bus, like it's all like,
I will say when she gets like when they attack her and it goes into like first person bird mode, that didn't really work for me.
Okay,
but that's fair. I think the rest of that attack swarm, whatever you want to call it, looked really good.
I thought the dogs looked good. The Cerberus, once again, look awesome.
Yeah, I think, again, it comes down to when they do practical, it looks good.
And they had to have done practical for the Tyrant at the very end, because you could still see Ian Glenn in that makeup. Like, I'm not sure how much of that was CGI versus practical, but like when it was
tell.
But when it was close up on him, it looked really good.
Yeah, I know.
He looked like Ivan Ooze, but more sinister.
No, he looked like Ivan Ooze. But Ivan Ooze is terrifying, so maybe Ivan Ooze is scarier than him. I didn't really like when he attacked people with his tentacles, because you could clearly tell it was CGI.
Yeah, especially again. When he killed the one agent of Wesker and it shoved down his eyes and mouth, like that didn't look very good. I do agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just like when they...
Some of the bites and the blood stuff was really good, though. Like when they were spitting up, like when they were being attacked, like the one guy got piled on and Claire was trying to shoot him off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Super zombies. Forgot mm-hmm. about that. I don't think we touched on those. They somehow turn into super zombies and they all look the same.
When they were injected with Alice's blood.
But I don't understand how that, like, because it comes from the guy looked how he looked before he was injected.
Yep.
And then somehow after that, they all
maybe they were
like
cloning
him.
The zombie they were testing on. That's why they couldn't get a good positive read.
But they couldn't have been, because he said at one point, "Oh, you're like getting more people, and it's mm-hmm. dangerous for my men." And it opens up, and they all look the same, and that stuff kind of bugs me. I can understand that. It's just like
plot.
Yes.
But the thing is, you're not wrong. I'm just saying, overall, I think that this is the best looking Resident Evil movie since the first one.
Oh, I agree. I that's not to say it doesn't look
like this good. Director, like, obviously was much more talented and knew, had a better vision than what we saw. And there's a reason why the guy in Apocalypse never directed again. Like, it was his only movie ever.
And I mean, that, like, even the action scenes, some of the choreography was like with the fast cuts and stuff kind of gets to me.
Yeah. Especially when you know why the cuts are there. As soon as you learn that the cuts are there because they couldn't put the whole action sequence together, it makes you appreciate how awesome Mila Jovovich is, because a lot of hers are like extended long cuts because she's doing her own stunts and stuff. But other people don't do that. It makes you appreciate Tom Cruise. No matter what you feel about Tom Cruise and what he is, but those sequences for him, since he does everything himself.
Yeah. I mean, it looked good. I agree. I think that this probably the strongest, one of the stronger categories for this.
So on that, I gave it a 7.5 because I did think it looked pretty good. That's the same score I gave the first movie.
Oh, I gave it a 7.
So we gave it the exact same score we gave it for the first movie for cinematography, which I think is fair. I think it's the same.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe a little bit better because I think the fire sequence is cool, but there's a lot of not good stuff too.
Yeah.
For a man, came out in 2007.
Yeah.
Audio.
Okay.
I think we can both agree Mila Jovovich is awesome. However you feel about The Weirdest with Alice, she portrays Alice amazingly, and she is awesome. And she has to play herself as a clone. And I think that's cool, too. I love Mila Jovovich. I stan Mila Jovovich. I am not saying a bad word about Mila Jovovich.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. I think that there were stronger performances in this, but I think she is up
so,
there.
So if she was mine, what is yours?
Oh, your favorite?
Mm-hmm. The star performances. I think she was the best. But again, I'm a stan. So what about you?
Can I pick half of somebody?
Sure. It's your podcast.
I am gonna go. I really liked how evil Grayscale was. I don't remember his name. I'm sorry.
Ian Glenn is the actor's name.
Ian Glenn, but I think once he turned into
the kind
of not even that, like kind of even right before that, it got kind of a little goofy, but it still worked for me. I think he either his or like Odenfar, is that his name?
Odenfar.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, he's great too. He would probably be my second favorite.
Yeah.
And then I have to include all of Ian Glenn's performance. I do think he's really creepy as a scientist, and then he gets goofy, and then he's okay again as Tyrant. And then Ali Larter. I thought Ali Larter as Claire is awesome. I think Ali Larter is like established as like a super badass anyway. So to bring her in as Claire is super cool. And we talked about it already during plot. I'm personally fine with her just being a character in this universe separate from what we know from the game. And I think she's cool. I think she's awesome. I love how she's trying to save people. Some of the side characters are cool. Like, I think Ashanti is like unfortunately really stereotypical of whatever that character is going to be. You know what I mean? Like, you know, some of what we talked about with Ashley during that interview is like, there's like a stereotypical role for that kind of actress. And it's unfortunate that's what happens there. But like, I liked Kmart.
Fucking Kmart. Who the goddamn names their character Kmart?
Well, that's where they found her.
Yeah.
Kmart. But I liked Kmart. And actually, Kmart's one of my biggest disappointments because like, I think they established her relationship with Alice really well. They show that they saved her at the end of the next movie, and then she disappears. She's never talked about again. She's just gone.
You are giving me all kinds of spoilers for movies I have not seen.
You haven't seen them? I thought you haven't seen them for a while. You haven't seen them at all?
No, I don't know what you're talking about with a big axe guy.
Movies, remember how you complain about how the games create characters and then drop them forever?
Yeah.
Oh, these movies, my friend. You already talked about one with the little girl. It gets worse. It happens all over the damn place.
I remember a ship one.
Yep.
Is that the next one?
That's the next
one. And I don't know if I've seen any more than that.
The
next
one has some amazing fight sequences.
Man, I gotta remember this shit. Yeah, I haven't seen that one in like years, maybe since it was in theaters.
Okay.
And the rest of them I don't think I've seen. So
the score in this is better.
Not as good as the first.
Not as good as the first, but the score is more present than in the second.
Yes. Okay, I'll give you that. I'm waiting. When are we going to talk about Albert Wesker there?
I'm going to try to put it off till the end. Wow. And the thing is, I didn't remember that it was a different actor, because the next guy who plays Wesker is awesome. Like, it's not the Wesker from the games, but it is an awesome Wesker. This one is just like a pencil pusher that they cosplayed him as Wesker, so he's not intimidating at all.
Yeah, and he's like,
I don't like him. I think he doesn't have a commanding presence. I hate it. I hate it.
I do remember. Oh, who is he played by? This is gonna bug me.
In the next movie?
Yeah.
Is he played by somebody you know, like from other stuff?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. We'll get you to find out next time.
He is. It's Sean Roberts.
Okay.
He was in Diary of the Dead, The Land of the Dead.
Okay, I haven't seen those movies, so that's how. But you definitely have, so that's how you know him then.
X-Men, sorry. Survival of the Dead, which I never watched, but yeah.
But yeah, anyways. I think he's awesome. He's like intimidating, and like I think he's great. And I just did not remember he wasn't in this one, so I was very disappointed when it happened. And he's just like a pencil pusher cosplay version of the Wesker that I remembered from the movies because that guy plays it so iconically.
So, yeah, I did not like him in this movie. Oh my god.
Yeah. And there was no badass soundtrack. Like we talked about how in Apocalypse we lost the score. This one has a different score, which is cool, and it kind of ties back into the Marilyn Manson one, especially at the very beginning. It ties back into that old theme.
Yeah.
But in this one, we don't have, like, the movie doesn't have any of those cool songs. Like, obviously, when I edited together Apocalypse for the last one, did you catch what I put in there?
No, I didn't.
I put your song in there.
What's my song?
When he's shooting on the rooftop? Come on, you're the one who mentioned it to me.
Oh, man, Digging Off the Corpses?
Yeah.
I fucking love that song.
I put it in there for you. It shows how much you care about my work. But yeah, like, the acting is good for the most part across the board. There are a couple of performances that are and there's one just not good one.
It's kind of, I want to add into the if you will. I know it wasn't, I think he was well acted, but I think his character was just written really poorly. I mean, obviously I'm talking about LJ here. I think he was really, really, like, he was one of my favorite parts about the second movie. And it's almost like somebody completely different wrote him in this movie.
Yeah,
he was like this snarky smartass mm-hmm. with like always throwing jokes. Obviously, like obviously I can't hold over for a bunch of movies, but and then this one he's just an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And like he doesn't really have any redeeming qualities in this movie, and it kind of bugged me.
I am right there with you 100%. Like, yeah, and that's why for audio I gave it a 6.
I gave it a 6 as well.
How scary. This is going to be a short one, I think.
Not.
It's not. There are some tense sequences. Oh, not scary for us, really. There are some tense sequences. I do think the bird sequence is tense. I think the dog fight sequence is tense. I did jump. I remember when I saw this in theaters when Alice got shot in the gut. Because, like, whoa, they just killed her? There are some tense sequences. But for the most part, this is an action movie. And I remember being very let down that when Alice and Tyrant were fighting in the laser hallway, that it was over so fast. Instead of it could have been, like, I guess in my head, I think like it could have had like a cool, longer fight scene where it was a like, closer, more risk, you know, for them.
Yeah.
But instead, it's just over so fast. So for me, it's tense at parts, but my God, they were not trying to scare people.
Yeah. I got nothing for this movie. Honestly, like, it did nothing for me in this category. I don't know if it's just because I kind of expected everything. Nothing was really tense. I honestly do not remember what it was like watching this movie, except for when I first watched it. Sorry. But I do remember watching it for the first time being very disappointed. I forgot to bring this up, but the fucking laser grid, the CGI just looks just as bad as it did in the first one.
I think it looks worse in the first one, honestly.
Oh, really? When it gets like cut apart?
Mm-hmm. When his eyes, I think it works worse in this one than it does the other one.
It's so fucking bad. All right. Yeah,
I got nothing. Like I said, I don't know how to say it has some tense moments, but they were legitimately not trying to scare anybody in this movie.
I give it 1.5.
Okay, simple enough. So then I think we can both agree it's still zombies.
Yeah, for the most part.
All right, so review the scores. For plot, I gave it a 6, I gave it a 5.5. For cinematography, I gave it a 7.5, I gave it a 7. For audio, we both gave it 6s. And for how scary, I gave it a 2. Justin gave it a 1.5. That gives Resident Evil Extinction a Here's Johnny final score of a 52. That 52 puts it right between Pet Sematary, the OG film, and Three from Hell, Rob Zombie's movie from last year where he ruined Devil's Rejects.
I mean, I still like Devil's Rejects. I just don't like Three from Hell.
And if we look, guys, at the other Resident Evil films before it, the OG movie got a 73, Apocalypse got a 55, and Extinction got a 52. So
are they just going to go down from here?
Well, the thing is like the other scores might vary, but the scariness never really gets back to where it was.
That's unfortunate.
There is one coming up where the opening sequence is super cool and like kind of scary, but besides that, that's about it.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't really remember.
Well, now from I don't want to spoil anything for you since now you since you told me you don't remember. But
oh yeah, honestly, everything from here on out is like I got nothing on me. Like okay. I don't remember any of it. So,
But guys, yeah, we're gonna leave you with that. We're gonna play a commercial from one of the member network podcasts on the Kaleidoscope Media Network, and we're gonna head on into the closing.
Do you ever watch a horror movie and think, oh, wow, that headshot didn't have nearly enough blood? Don't the writers know that 20% of your blood is in your head?
Are you the type of person that tells your friends, well, why yes, in space no one can hear you scream because the molecules are too far apart to transmit sound waves?
Does it seriously annoy you when a horror movie doesn't explain its rules to you or claims to have horror rules and then just ignores them?
Do you ever express these concerns to your friends who tell you that you should stop worrying so much because it's just a horror movie, Sam?
Then stop lecturing your friends about physics and come listen to our podcast, That's Not How Science Works, which I co-host with my awesome friend, Nicole.
In our podcast, Caitlin and I discuss science in different pieces of media, such as movies or TV shows, in various genres, and dissect whether that science is good, bad, or just plain ridiculous. Often, we also have special guests who help us rant about bad science in their areas of expertise.
We release new episodes every other Monday, and you can find us wherever you usually download your podcasts. We like to think of this as a podcast for the science curious. Whether you're Sam with a dedicated YouTube channel complaining about bad science and horror movies, or just like to learn things while listening to friends banter about what they watched that week, we'd love for you to listen in.
You can find out more by going to our website, thatsnotscience.com, or by looking us up on Twitter at TNHSWpod. We hope you give us a listen. Now back to your regularly scheduled horror enthusiasts, Larry and Justin, and that's definitely a word that's a real word and not a word that I just made up, and whatever terrifying thing they're discussing that would probably give me daymares for a week.
So, next week, we are planning on reviewing Resident Evil 5.
Planning.
I think if we put in two more nights of like 3 or 4 hours, we can have a beat.
But man, I don't know when that's going to happen because you're gone on the weekend.
I think if we play on like next Sunday and like a day like next Wednesday, we can have a beat before Thursday.
You think so?
I think so.
I don't know, man.
We'll find out. If not, we're reviewing Afterlife.
I'm going to say right here, we're probably reviewing Afterlife.
But besides that, again, guys, Last of Us Part 2 will be reviewed when I finally beat it. And then Dying Light, we're working on that. We're playing through actually with Shannon and Rachel, and we're going to review that with them and talk about our experience with that. We will make it through Resident Evil eventually, God willing. The hard part now is like, I think if we were playing separately, we'd have 5 beaten.
Oh, but absolutely.
Since we're playing it together, it's definitely slowing the pace down.
So we should talk about 6 then. Do we want to play that together? Because that is a long fucking game. It is 26 hours.
I know. We do need to talk about that. I think maybe we should put a Twitter poll out and like we can play the other campaign separate, but let them pick the one campaign we play together.
I think, and I think it makes sense. I think we should do Leon's together because that is the one that is like...
This is the best one, but I wonder if Twitter would be nice to us and make us play Chris's.
Oh, man. I don't even think I ever played Jake Mueller's. Like, I got to a certain point, it was just pointless.
Oh, my God. that game is right there on the precipice, my friend.
But then we're done well, with the shitty ones.
yeah. But yeah, guys, that's our review this week. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Justin, any last thoughts, my friend?
Yeah, we said this last month, and I want to say it again here. Thank you to our listeners, because yet again, we had another record-breaking month.
Yeah, we blew past last month, and we were excited about that. So thank you for everybody who's listening. If you do get a chance, head over to iTunes or Podcast Addict, or write us a 5-star review or whatever star you think we deserve, and just help us reach more people. Like I said, we like to talk about scary stuff, and whenever people listen to it, it makes us feel like we aren't just talking into the wind. We still would, because it's our hobby now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But it's cool to know people are listening. Yeah, guys, until next week, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at @heresjohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/heresjohnnypodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers. So head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.